You understand, it is fundamentally offensive to say to the one who gave his life for you and I to be a part of his kingdom, listen, I don't really care about trusting in you. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. But I don't really want like you messing with my social life. I don't want to have to deal with you evaluating what's appropriate and inappropriate. I don't want to know you that way. And while we don't typically say it that blatantly, we live it just that blatantly. I want to pick up a theme I began this past Wednesday, talking about faith mountains. Took a little detour last night, our reading plan. I hope you're doing the Bible reading with us. If you're not, you're really missing out on an important part of spiritual formation. Nothing that I know of will protect you from deception more than the habit of a daily Bible reading in a systematic way through your Bible. And if you haven't ever joined us for that, I would invite you to do that. About 10 or 15 minute commitment a day, you can read through the Bible from the table of contents to the maps over the course of a year. And we're getting ready to begin the book of Leviticus, which is not really the emotional highlight of Scripture. So last evening, the session was really an invitation into the book of Leviticus and why I think it is so valuable. But in this session, I want to go back to something we began on Wednesday night, talking about faith mountains. And we're going to talk about against all odds, because I want to be candid. I think we're facing a set of circumstances that is going to require a commitment that exceeds the commitment of the previous years of our spiritual lives. The battle that has been covert and has been undercover, and we've talked about the sleeping giant of God's people, this silent majority. I've traversed this country for the last couple of years, and quite honestly, I don't know that that giant exists. If it exists, I think it is on life support. Doesn't frighten me. God doesn't need a majority. There's an authority in his truth. But I want us to understand business as usual is not going to change the tide that is cascading over us. If we don't find our voice and stand up, our educational system will plummet into the abyss. It is teetering on the brink right now. And you shouldn't imagine that because your child attends a Christian university or some label that what they're receiving has been scripted from a biblical worldview. Tragically, that just is not the case in the majority of our institutions any longer. And if we can't educate our children in the fundamentals of civics and our history and a biblical worldview, we're not preparing them to protect the liberties and freedoms that have brought the best things to our lives. So it's going to take, rather than be angry at somebody else, I don't feel that. I feel a great concern that you and I be awakened to the opportunities of this season. And while the odds may not seem like they're in our favor, God is. And you and God are a majority. In fact, God all by himself is a majority. But if you'll help him, the outcome will be better for you. And so that's where I'd like to begin. Mountains on planet Earth, they're barriers. Across the earth, they separate nations, peoples, tribes. You know this if you've learned any geography. To complete a significant journey almost always requires negotiating the mountains. And the truth is, some of the most celebrated places on planet Earth are the passes through the mountains, those places you can traverse the heights without having to climb the summit. In Tennessee, we understand this. We know it as the Cumberland Gap. In the Middle East, it's the Jezreel Valley. It's the one place along the Rift Valley that goes from central Turkey into Africa where you can cross from one side to the other without having to climb the mountains. The Jezreel Valley has been the busiest battlefield in the history of civilization. It's where the Battle of Armageddon will take place. Armageddon is a bit of a corruption. There's an ancient city in the midst of that valley protecting the descent into the valley at the midpoint from the mountains of Samaria, and the town was called Megiddo. It was one of Solomon's chariot cities, which means it was an occupied place of military strategic significance 1000 BC. Well, in Hebrew, the word for mountain is har, hill is har. So some person saw Har Megiddo, and we got Armageddon. And the Battle of Armageddon will take place in the Jezreel Valley, that vast plain that has seen more battles than any other. Well, the knowledge of these places where you can traverse the heights enables a traveler to achieve a destination with less risk, less effort, and less time. They're important things to know. I'll tell you that because we have some hills to climb. Not physical hills, but spiritual ones. We have lost much of our awareness of what has contributed to our freedom and liberty. We have set aside far too much of our past. Ideas like free speech, citizens who self-govern, sacrifices for the common good. The value of citizenship in a unique experiment that is our nation. To maintain these, we have to remember the contributions of our predecessors on battlefields, as leaders, in schools and universities. Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, Harriet Tubman. There's a long list of persons we could recite. Unfortunately, their achievements and their sacrifices are no longer common amongst us. We have to understand the contribution of the Christian faith to our opportunities. It is not irrelevant or secondary. It is not irrelevant or secondary. It has been at the forefront of the liberties and freedoms that have defined us as a people. And if we continue to relegate it to some tertiary, some place at the back of the closet, we will live in an increasingly authoritarian state. It is at the heart of who we are. So we're going to talk about climbing some spiritual mountains, even against difficult odds. I'll start in 2 Samuel 22. It's in your notes, two verses. This is a part of David's expression of worship when he had secured victory against all his enemies. The Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. In the New Testament, God says of David, he would do anything I ask him to do. God said to David, from you, from your lineage, I will bring a Messiah. It's safe to say David was a celebrated character. Is that fair? God sent the prophet Samuel to David's house when he's a teenager to anoint him to be king in front of his brothers. That's awkward. There was one slight problem. Israel already had a king. His name was Saul, and he didn't intend to abdicate the throne. And yet God sends the prophet to say to David, I've chosen you to be king of my people. And for many long years, David had to live as a fugitive, hunted by the king, living in desert places, hiding in caves, living as a refugee. It was a very difficult existence. Sometimes he would even have to flee the country and feign insanity when he was amongst peoples in other places just to save his life. But when all of those things had been set aside and David had secured his authority over the nation that God called him to lead, please process that. God called him to an assignment and it was extraordinarily difficult. Stop thinking if God asks you to do it, it will be easy. Well, I didn't know that like serving the Lord would be hard. We don't forget assignments. We talk about reading our Bible. People say, well, you know, Pastor, I just don't like to read. Let me help. Rather than say that, some of us boast, I haven't read a book since I graduated from high school. Let me help with that. It'd be far more straightforward to say, I really like to be ignorant. Now, for some, reading is easier than others. I understand that. But today, with audiobooks and technology, the information is amazingly available to us. If you're not taking the time to read your Bible, you don't care. We do things we don't like all the time. I don't like paying taxes. But I like paying taxes better than sitting in prison, so. God calls us to do things that are not simple, but you can't have an assignment until you begin the maintenance plan. You see, you can't be entrusted with something of significance if you won't submit to the discipline of just daily obedience. And for the most part, we've been wrestling with this. We're looking for license. We think of spiritual discipline kind of like the minimum daily requirement of vegetables. We don't want to eat them. So there's some clown on TV selling us red and green bottles of some kind of powder. So we can eat cheese puffs, but have a paddle. We can get the benefit of the vegetables without eating them. And I think that's a pretty good characterization of really what's in our heart around serving the Lord. It just doesn't really seem that desirable to us. Folks, the church, we've got to become something different. I love you. You're in the church on a holiday. I got it. I'm with the choir. But your voices are important. Your influence is important. We're not super achievers. We're not overachievers. The fact that you attend a worship service does not make you like some super saint. That's like minimal daily requirements. And we all have friends that we care about, people we love, who just don't want to be bothered. And you hear the ones, well, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. No, you don't. You don't have to go home to be married either, but it'll work out better. We've all heard the line that if we don't learn from history, we're doomed to repeat it. Well, there have been some fails in the story of the church that we don't want to repeat in our generation. There's more than one or two. The American church was tragically silent while slavery became a part of our culture and changed the destiny of our nation. The church in Europe in the run-up to World War II was silent, and 6 million Jews and others lost their lives. But we're at another pivot point in history, and if we don't learn the lessons of being silent in the face of evil, we will see destruction unlike anything we've known in our lifetime. Our premium this month is a book by Eric Metaxas, A Letter to the American Church, and he uses that history to inform us of a response that I don't believe is just optional right now. I believe it's necessary. Don't stand on the sidelines and wring your hands. God is moving in the earth. He's preparing a people to take our stand for the purposes of the kingdom of God in this unique season. And A Letter to the American Church will be a help to you. We can learn from the seasons that have gone before and make a kingdom difference right now.
You know, in the run-up to World War II, the churches, not just in Germany, but across Europe, were holding court as usual. They were having services. They were doing Easter and Christmas. They decorated their trees, fully aware of what was happening.
The American church now is being silent in the face of similar evil. For us to think that, well, that could happen to them, it could never happen to us, that's arrogant, it's wrong, it's unbiblical. And it's very easy for us to think like, well, we would never be silent in the face of evil. What were they thinking? These idiots. If the church does not learn the lesson of Bonhoeffer now in America, we're going down that path. And there's no doubt in my mind, which is why I speak with just such incredible seriousness about it, because it's a horrifying thing to think about, but we better think about it. We better take it seriously.
Do you recognize the tragedies surrounding us? Eric Metaxas wrote Letter to the American Church before October 7th, before Hamas ruthlessly murdered, raped, and kidnapped innocent Jews in Israel. The letter he penned is beginning to come to pass. The LGBTQ agenda pushed on our children, even at school. And on college campuses in America today, Jewish students hide in fear. Letter to the American Church is a wake-up call, propelling us into action so we can make a difference in our generation, following Jesus. God has entrusted the church with a message, a way of life that has changed the course of history. It's up to us to deliver it.
There's a stand that needs to be taken, and I believe God has called you and me to do that. Letter to the American Church is an important part of the equipment we will need. I believe this premium will make a difference for you.
Request your copy of Letter to the American Church when you donate $30 or more today at alanjackson.com or by calling 800-880-5102.
I'm excited to announce our new podcast, Culture and Christianity.
Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion provider in the world, announced last year in 2023 that they were the second largest provider of cross-sex hormones and puberty blockers in the land of the free and the home of the brave.
We're going to take the opportunity to talk about what's happening in our world a bit from a biblical perspective, from a biblical worldview. I'm going to talk to some of my friends.
One of the things that I've discovered in doing the research over the years, we look at what influences people. On average, the local church doesn't show up.
I do not believe
that the FDA and the USDA have protected us as family farmers or ranchers with labeling. We don't take orders from the United Nations either.
And we also live in a time when things like propaganda and misinformation and deception seem to be flourishing. Who do we trust these days?
And he said, wake up. And I think that's the message for us. Wake up.
I hope you enjoy the podcast.
Second Samuel 22:33, it is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. God is our strength. That is so important to know. Alan's strength is so limited. My intellect, my ability, I'm filled with limits. And you know many of mine, and you are much more familiar with your own. But God is our strength. God is our strength. And then David makes the most remarkable statement. He said, God makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. That's what we're asking God to help us do, to scale the mountains. To scale the mountains. Not because we've got great strength, not because we've trained at altitude, that in spite of us, God can give us the feet to scale the heights. That's where we're headed. I'm going to start with a suggestion that we want to grow up a little bit. You know, I remember as a child having this passionate desire to read. I'd watch other people read. I'd think, I want to be able to read. It's frustrating to me that they would delay it. There wasn't anybody that was particularly anxious to help me. And if they were, I wasn't clever enough to understand it. It just seemed like something that I wanted to be able to do. But that's about the last time I remember when there was a point of maturity that I was excited about. After that, the rest of them seemed rather burdensome to me. I didn't want to be responsible. I didn't want to mature. I was good being immature. Do you want to put the gas in my car and pay for my insurance? Help yourself. I thought all of those thresholds seemed a little intrusive to me, and I think we have a little bit about that spiritually. It's not enough to know about Jesus. We have to determine to grow up and mature in our faith, and the church has been woefully inadequate at presenting this invitation. We've had a tremendous focus on conversion and salvation, the new birth. I believe in those things, absolutely and totally. But folks, the point of that is to enable us to grow up in the Lord. In John 2, in verse 11, Jesus' first miracle, his first public miracle at a wedding in Cana, he revealed his glory, and it says his disciples put their faith in him. That's really the issue of growing up in the Lord. You learn to trust Jesus more fully. You understand, it is fundamentally offensive to say to the one who gave his life for you and I to be a part of his kingdom, listen, I don't really care about trusting in you. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. But I don't really want like you messing with my social life. I don't want to have to deal with you evaluating what's appropriate and inappropriate. I don't want to know you that way. And while we don't typically say it that blatantly, we live it just that blatantly. How dare you intrude on my calendar? How dare you suggest my time should be yielded to you? Who do you think you are to intrude on my financial plan and how I accumulate resources and what I do with them after I've worked hard to get them? Well, in answer to those questions, the answer would be, he's the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And one day you will bow your knee before him and with your own mouth acknowledge him as Lord. So, suggestion, be an early adopter. Walk through that difficulty that wants to demand my way and say, Lord, I would like to learn to submit to you. To put my faith in you. It's not going to be a perfect journey. We won't get it right every time. In John 20, it's Resurrection Day. The tomb is empty. The women got there early. The men couldn't be bothered. The men get the message. Peter and John start for the tomb. It's a sprint. John reached the tomb first. He went inside. He saw and believed. But then John put in parenthesis, he's writing now, this is a bit autobiographical. He outran Peter to the tomb. And it said, he said, I went inside and I believed. What did he believe? Well, he believed the tomb was empty. He believed Jesus wasn't there. He believed the women had told the truth. But then he put in parenthesis, we still didn't understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. I knew the body wasn't there, but I didn't understand he was alive. So it pulls back the curtain. You can be fully in on following Jesus. You can have walked away from a business. You can be all in. You can have had separation amongst friends and acquaintances, because certainly John and Peter had done all of those things. They've been personally coached by Jesus. They had front row seats for Lazarus being raised from the dead and blind eyes being opened. They were in the boat when he walked on the water. They know Jesus is extraordinary. But they're still right at the periphery of what's conceivable. We watched him crucified. We watched him tortured to death. And we know this is where they buried him and the body's gone. But they didn't have anybody else in their contact list that had resurrection in their resume. So they're struggling to believe. Peter ran to the tomb that day. We get a little different perspective from him later in his life. His hair is gray now and his strength has begun to diminish. It's 1 Peter 2. He said, "Rid yourselves of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Rid yourselves." You see, God won't rid you of those things. You'll have to decide, I want nothing to do with being deceptive, envious. I'm not going to slander people, no matter. I'm not going to do that. And then he said, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. Once you've tasted the goodness of God, Peter says, let's grow up a little bit. It's my invitation. Here's the good news and the bad news. You cannot grow without change. You can change and not grow, but you can't grow without changing. Please understand this. The invitation to grow, to change, is not a criticism or a condemnation of your previous positions, ideas, or perspectives. This is a challenge for us because most of us have grown up in a nation that was predominantly Christian, so the majority of us have some sort of a Christian heritage, and it's typically aligned with some tradition, denomination, and there's some groupthink in any group. That's why we call it groupthink. If you think the University of Tennessee has the finest athletic program in the Southeastern Conference, I'm good with you. No problem. You know they're the only one in the Southeastern Conference that operates with integrity and uprightness. All of their athletes are truly student athletes. There'd be no inappropriate behavior towards any of them. Most of them sing in the choirs of churches because this is our athletic program. I got that. You understand groupthink. Well, we have that religiously as well. Here's the challenge. When invitations to grow begin to come, often God will grow us beyond the group. Because no group has just a complete hammerlock on absolute knowledge. And we imagine it somehow to be perceived as critical or condemning, or some of our previous positions and perspectives were incomplete. Think of it this way. When a baby grows and becomes a toddler, it's not a condemnation of babies. It's simply another level of development. I did not call your denomination a baby or a toddler. The circumstances of my life have been such that I've been involved with a very broad spectrum of Christians. And I have found wisdom and learning amongst all those different groups. And I find a great temptation to want to say, it's like home cooking. My group's the best. We can't grow unless we can say to the Lord, I want to learn. I will change. I want to take an aspect of Jesus' ministry for the balance of our time together. Jesus, when he began his public ministry, moved to Capernaum, his little fishing village on the northern end of the Sea of Galilee. The northern end of the lake has the best fishing. There's warm springs there. There's a word in Arabic and Aramaic, Tabqa, which means the place of seven springs. And it's a place that's associated, at least by tradition, it's very near Capernaum, with a number of Jesus' remarkable miracles. It was that area where Jesus called his disciples. It was in that area where Jesus did the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes, where he fed a whole multitude, 5,000 people, with a happy meal. Living Bible. Or if you prefer, with a few Chick-fil-A mini biscuits. It was the place where he restored Peter after Peter denied the Lord in such a blatant way. He met Peter and the disciples there after his resurrection. So I want to take those three ideas and see if we can understand from them some ways that you and I can navigate some of the spiritual heights that are in our lives. We have some mountains to negotiate, all of us. Folks, nobody gets through life without difficulty. Life is not fair. We live in a broken world. Sin exists. Evil touches our lives. Sometimes evil impacts our lives in very profound ways, directly or indirectly. And when that happens, the only real solution is the power of God. You can live past it. You can overcome. There's many things. There's many coping mechanisms, and I'm grateful for all of those. But there is a power from Almighty God to help us not just survive, but to triumph. And the church needs to hold that message, but it begins in our own hearts and our own lives.
It will take determined faith to see a change in our generation. It's going to take more than more faithful church attendance or a change in how you like to worship. It's going to take a real determination to seek the Lord. I'd like to pray for you today that God would anoint us with a new anointing from Him, a new boldness and a new courage to say yes to the Lord so that it would please God to make a change in our generation. You up for that? Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your church. Lord Jesus, You said You would build Your church and hell itself wouldn't prevail over it. And I ask You now, Father, to stir our hearts, move in us so that it will please You to move in the earth in a new way. I thank You for what You will do. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Join us every week for another exciting message from Pastor Alan Jackson. And until then, visit us online and discover remarkable information and resources to help take your Christian life to the next level. And if you're visiting the Nashville area, we'd love to see you at World Outreach Church in Murfreesboro. We're easy to find, so look us up when you're traveling through. And don't forget to connect with Pastor Jackson every day through social media. Thanks so much for joining us and being a part of this ministry. We'll see you again next time for another encounter with Pastor Alan Jackson.
We are committed to helping you grow in your faith and have tools for your journey no matter your schedule. Get daily encouragement and insight with Pastor Alan's daily devotion right in your inbox. Just sign up on the website. Join us on one of our live stream services right from your TV using the Alan Jackson Ministries app. Listen to a powerful message through your favorite podcast app, perfect for a commute. And make sure to follow Pastor Alan on social media to stay up to date with everything happening here with Alan Jackson Ministries.